Right, you can open up your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 10. We'll start immediately. As you saw in your bulletin, we are discussing the topic of the fear of the Lord. What does that mean? Why should we have it and how to grow in it? First, we'll look at why have it. What are some benefits or some rewards of the fear of the Lord? Then, what does it mean to fear the Lord? And then, how can we grow in our fear of the Lord? This is a topical sermon from the book of Proverbs, mostly, but we will go through the whole Bible. There will be many verses throughout the whole Bible that we will look at, but we'll start from the book of Proverbs, because it is here that the topic of the fear of the Lord is mostly known from, and that Solomon speaks much about. I do know that you have been well taught about the fear of the Lord already, so this is perhaps just a refresher from another perspective. So, the topic on the fear of the Lord. First, we'll ask the question on why should we have the fear of the Lord? And I'll list for you 8 benefits of the fear of the Lord from the book of Proverbs, and Psalms. Proverbs and Psalms, 8 benefits of fearing the Lord. And this should be an encouragement for you to fear the Lord. And then we'll look at, now that you know why, let's ask them the question, what? So, 8 benefits of fearing the Lord, or 8 rewards, 8 ways that God rewards us if we do fear Him. First, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 27. It says, "The fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be short." So according to that verse, if you fear the Lord, it says there, it prolongs your life. You will live longer. God generally, mostly, normally, rewards you with a longer life if you fear Him. Secondly, Psalm chapter 145, verse 19. We'll go through various verses because this is a topical study. Psalm chapter 145, verse 19 says, "He fulfills," speaking of God, "God fulfills the desire of those who fear Him. He also hears their cry and saves them." So according to that verse, the benefit or the reward that God gives for those who fear Him is, well, it says, He fulfills their desire. He gives them what they ask. He gives them what they want. Okay? He also hears their cry and saves them. So God answers their prayers and delivers them from time of need and affliction. So that's the second benefit of fearing the Lord. Firstly, we saw it prolongs your life. Second and thirdly, God fulfills your desire, and He answers your prayers. A fourth benefit, or a third verse that we'll look at, is Proverbs chapter 15, verse 16. It says, you can turn there, "Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble with it." Better is a little with the fear of the Lord, a little bit of money, a little bit of food, or small house, or poor clothing. Better is a little bit with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble with it. So we see here, if you can just put it in a benefit or a reward form, if we fear the Lord, God delivers us out of a lot of troubles. There will be a lot of trouble that we will lead to if we do not fear the Lord. And so we are spared from all of that trouble. A fourth verse on the fear of the Lord is Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." That's probably the most famous verse on the topic of the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So the place where wisdom starts and the principle for driving wisdom is the fear of the Lord. You cannot claim to be wise if you do not fear the Lord. So, if you want to grow in your wisdom, you have to fear God more. Fifth, a fifth reward or benefit of fearing the Lord is found in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 7. It says, "When a man's ways please the Lord, He makes even his enemies to be at peace with Him." The word fear is not used there, but peace. It says, when a man's ways pleases the Lord, even his enemies will be at peace with Him. So God gives you favor, even with your enemies. And that's a blessed position to be in. That's a reward. A sixth verse on the fear of the Lord says, in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 23, it says, "The fear of the Lord leads to life, and whoever has it rests satisfied. He will not be visited by harm. So there are four benefits of fearing the Lord right there in that verse. It leads to life. You rest. Satisfied. There's a satisfaction on the fruit of your labor. And you're not visited by harm. God gives you protection from enemies, from people. Generally. Let's just remind ourselves always generally. Proverbs is axiomatic. It's not promises. But normally this is a reward that God gives and that you can look forward to. Proverbs chapter 22 verse 4 gives us a seventh verse on the fear of the Lord that shows us a reward and a benefit if we fear the Lord. It says, Proverbs 22 verse 4 says, the reward for humility and fear of the Lord is riches and honor and life. Riches? Financially. There are financial benefits for you if you fear the Lord. And that's something to be sought after. We do understand it's not promises, but that's generally how God structured His world, to reward those even with finances if you do fear the Lord. Riches and honor. We already saw your favor even with your enemies. Even your enemies are at peace with you. But there's an honor, there's an esteem, there's a respect that people show with a person who fears the Lord. And life, a longer life, an abundant life, also an eternal life. If you fear the Lord. An eighth benefit we find in Psalm chapter 25 verse 14. And this is my favorite verse on the fear of the Lord. The favorite benefit. It says, the friendship of the Lord is for those who fear Him. And He makes known to them His covenant. If you fear the Lord, God befriends you. God actually becomes your friend. And it's a strange concept. Being a friend and fearing Him. But God's friendship is based on a relationship of us fearing Him. There can be no friendship relationship otherwise. It has to start with us fearing Him. So with all of these wonderful rewards that God gives to those who fear Him, many times in this life, definitely in the eternal life, one has to ask the question, how do I fear the Lord? What does it mean to fear the Lord? And that's what we'll turn to next. What does it mean to fear the Lord? What is it when I say, fear the Lord? If I command you, fear the Lord, then what should you do? If I can tell you and I can tell you these rewards will be yours if you fear the Lord, then what should you do? And that's what we will turn to next. And to understand the fear of the Lord, it's not a simple thing to come to understand. Why? Because Scripture never defines it really for us. Yes, sure, it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Or the fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. It has that is in between, but it's not a definition. It tells you what does it result in. How does a person look who fears the Lord? That's what Scripture tells you when they say the fear of the Lord is this. So Scripture speaks about the fear of the Lord in various places, all over Scripture. But it doesn't define it specifically. And you have to take all of these verses together and collaborate it to find out what exactly does it mean. And when you have figured out what it means, it helps you then to interpret all those other scriptures. And it helps you then to understand what God requires of us when it says, fear the Lord, or the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So I've done that study and I've looked at several scripture verses, and I'll take you through many of them, not all of them, but many of them. And I want to show you what it means to fear the Lord from various scripture all over the Bible. So to understand the fear of the Lord, you need to understand there are two parts to understanding the fear of the Lord. Two aspects. And some people would emphasize the one and say it's not the other. And other people would emphasize the other aspect and says it's not the one, but it's a balance. It's both and. To understand the fear of the Lord. So the first part, we'll look at both. And various scripture verses that shows it. The first part of understanding what it means to fear the Lord is this. The fear of the Lord, to fear the Lord, is to realize His glory. To fear the Lord is to realize the glory of God. To realize His majesty, His worthiness, His supremacy. That's the first part. To stand in awe and reverence of Him. That's the first aspect of what it means to fear the Lord, to tremble before His glory. And every aspect, every part of God's being, His works, His deeds, His thoughts, His words, should cause us to tremble before Him more. Should cause us to stand more and more in respect and honor of Him, to fear Him. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 139, verse 14. And it's quite ironic. My first verse that I want you to turn to explain the concept fear of the Lord, doesn't have to do with the fear of the Lord, this first verse. It has to do with David writing of himself and saying and using the word fear of himself. And that's going to help us to understand what the word fear means. And then we're going to apply it. To say, okay, now you understand a part of the word fear, let's apply it to the concept, the fear of the Lord. Psalm 139, verse 14. I've got it written out here. Okay. It says, I praise you. David speaking of God. And he says, I praise you, God. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. So David looks at himself and he says, wow, God, look at how you made me. And he stands in awe of God's piece of creation. And he gives God the glory. And he says, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And he uses fearfully as a synonym for wonderfully. Or very similar words. Fearfully and wonderfully. So when we're thinking of the fear of the Lord, we are saying, God, you are wonderful. We stand in awe of Him, of His majesty, of His glory, and every aspect of God should cause us to stand more and more in wonder. Wow, God, you're amazing. Just three verses that takes three attributes of God and shows us how the people responded to that attribute of God. And they feared God. Okay? Psalm 33, verses 8 and 9. First takes God's act of creation. And says, He's a creator because He created. And He looks around and He sees the world. And now He stands in awe of God. He fears God. He trembles before Him. Psalm 33 verses 8 and 9 says, let the whole earth tremble before the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. That's a synonym there. For He spoke and it came into being. He commanded and it came into existence. God spoke and there it was. He commanded and there was the world. And that makes Him stand in awe. That makes Him tremble before God. Secondly, a second attribute there, under part one, right? The second attribute that causes us to stand in awe of God is in Jonah chapter 1 verse 16. When God, the Lord, calmed that storm on which Jonah was, when they threw him into the sea. And Jonah said, I am, my God is the God of the Hebrews. And he said, it's because of my sin that this storm is here. And he said, the only way that this storm will be stopped is if you throw me overboard. And they did that. And the sailors responded in a fear of the Lord. Jonah chapter 1 verse 16 says, then the men, after throwing him, then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. So once God stopped the storm, the moment he was thrown over the board and there was no other way of calming the storm, and they tried everything and they called upon their gods and it didn't work, they threw Jonah overboard. The storm was silent, and that caused the people to say, whoa, and they feared the Lord. Doesn't mean they were scared of him suddenly. That's part. It means they had a high view of him. And they gave him glory. And they realized in their heart who he was. A third attribute. And there, like I said, all the attributes and all the words and all the deeds and all the thoughts of God should cause us to fear him more. But this is just one, another one that I want to point out to you. And it's found in Psalm 130 verse 4. Psalm 130 verse 4. And this psalm rocked my world. This psalm is amazing for me. And the reason is, it tells us We shouldn't just fear God for all those great, big, strong, mighty, scary acts of God that shows His power or His greatness or thunder and lightning and things, the earth quaking, and but also His mercy should cause us to fear Him. Should cause us to stand in awe of Him, to say, what kind of God is this? That's so merciful that even me, a wicked sinner, could be forgiven. Psalm 130 verse 4 says, but with You, God, but with You there is forgiveness that you may be feared. Forgiveness should drive fear of the Lord in you, should cause you to stand in awe of this great God and say, who are You? And praise You, for there's no other God who would forgive sins as big as mine. This part of the fear of the Lord, this standing in awe, this trembling before the greatness of God, should lead to our loyalty. Should lead to God, I am Your allegiant servant. Do to me whatever You please. I am Yours because You are God, and there is none like You. Sometimes it's temporary, okay? Like the sailors, most probably didn't get saved, most probably, in Jonah chapter 1. 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 33, tells of people who feared the Lord and who served other gods. So it's not always permanent. Most of the times in Scripture, it comes forth as someone who, throughout their life, fears the Lord. But sometimes it can be just, whoa, that God of the Hebrews, or that God of the Christians, He's amazing. And people see some act of His greatness, and they tremble before Him, and they, like the people in Jonah chapter 1 verse 16, they make their vows, and they realize He's the true God, but they don't get saved, and later it fades away. So sometimes it's temporary, but most of the time, when someone has seen God's glory, you submit to Him and you're loyal to Him for the rest of your life. So many times, in Scripture at least, it's a permanent thing. You fear the Lord, you come to realize who He is, and you bow the knee. And you say, I'm Your loyal servant, and You are my Lord, and I joyfully serve You. I'm Your doulos, right? I saw that on your duty roster. I'm Your servant. I'm Yours. Okay, it's like when an honorable person, let's say your pastor, right? He stands in front of you and he tells you, do this. You don't say, oh, I guess there will be church discipline, therefore I will do this. No, you say, I've got respect for this guy. This guy stands as a representative of God before me. And I fear the office. I respect that. I honor that. I stand in awe of that office. Okay? So that's the first part of fearing the Lord. It's a reverence. You don't just do it because you're scared. You do it because you stand in awe of God. And that's what we should do. That's the first aspect. If you want those rewards that we looked at, those eight verses that we looked at from the wisdom literature, if you want that, then the first aspect is you have to stand in awe of God. You have to have a high view of God. His supremacy and His glory and His every aspect of Him should cause you to do that more. The second aspect of the fear of the Lord, part two, is the scary part. It's actually the scary part as well. Okay? It is, the fear of the Lord is to realize God's swift punishment on sin. He is a holy God. He does not tolerate evil. Yes, when God does save you, you serve Him out of love. You serve Him joyfully. But at the back of your mind, you should know that should you sin, He takes that seriously. He disciplines. And should an unbeliever sin, or should a person who claims to be a believer sin, and maybe even sitting here and claims to be a believer, claims to fear the Lord, and he sins, and he continues to sin, and later shows himself to be an unbeliever, there's the punishment even of a lake of fire. The fear of the Lord includes a swift punishment on sin. That's a scary aspect of God. This let me lead you through a few verses that also shows that, because that's just as evident from the Scriptures. Deuteronomy chapter 4 verse 24 says, For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. And that's said in the context of Moses warning the people against idolatry, saying, stay away from the idols. The Lord your God is a jealous God. Whoa. There's punishment. And they have seen the punishment, and this becomes so much, this was so real to them, because how did God lead them through from the Exodus from Egypt to where they are now soon going to the Promised Land? Well, through a fire, right? And it was, they knew it. God is a consuming fire. And at one time when they sinned, what happened? The fire just got bigger and consumed some of them. At another stage when they complained, snakes came out and bit them, and many of them died. God is a consuming fire. He punishes sin swiftly. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 31 says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It's a fearful thing. Exodus chapter 20, when God came down on Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments, the preparation that the people had to make, that they had to set boundaries so they couldn't come near. No animal should even touch the mountain on which God would declare His Ten Commandments. The people had to clean their clothes. The men weren't even allowed to sleep with their wives for that time, in preparation for God coming down on Mount Sinai. And when He came down in thunder and in a thick, dark cloud. And the people came out trembling before this majestic, holy God. It was a scary aspect. That was scary. And listen to what Exodus chapter 20, verse 20 says. Moses said to the people, do not fear, for God has come to test you, that the fear of Him may be before you, that you may not sin. What's going on in that verse? God saying, I'm not against you. I'm not here to punish you. I'm not here to wipe you out. But know who I am, so that you may not sin. Have a trembling, have a high view, have a realization of who I am, that you may not sin. This aspect of the fear of the Lord, while the previous aspect of the fear of the Lord leads to loyalty and allegiance, this aspect leads to carefulness. Don't take God flippantly. Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 2 and 3 says, that you may fear the Lord your God by keeping all His statutes and His commandments which I command you all the days of your life, and that you, your days may be long. Hear therefore, Israel, be careful to do these things. It leads to carefulness. Leviticus chapter 10 verses 1 to 3, we know that when God instituted the Levitical priesthood under Aaron and his sons, and his sons were given the opportunity to sacrifice to the Lord, and they used strange fire, which they were not permitted to. Listen what the text says. Leviticus 10 verses 1 to 3. The two sons' names are Nadab and Abihu. And it says, now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it and laid incense on it and offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, which He had not commanded them. And fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them. And they died before the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord has said. Among those who are near me, I will be sanctified. And before all the people, I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. He was not allowed to mourn for his sons, because they dishonored God by offering strange fire, which He did not command them to do. And God killed those two sons. That's the dangerous aspect. And it leads to carefulness. Don't just offer any type of fire. Don't just use any wood that you choose to. Do what God says. And if you don't know what God says, find out what God says and then do what God says. That's what it means to fear the Lord. It's yes, it's His glory and His amazingness, and it leads to your loyalty in saying, I'm your willing servant. But it's also, whoa, if I'm not going to do this, and I'm planning on doing it, but at the back of my mind, that sinful nature of mine that still wants to do sin now and then, he says, whoa, stay far away. and be careful to obey God. We know the account of Acts chapter 5, where Ananias and Sapphira came to God, came to Peter, and they said they sold their whole property. They lied, they acted hypocritically, they wanted to be like the others who said they gave everything. They wanted to look cool, maybe, they wanted to be in, right? And they said they gave everything, while they only gave a portion, a half. And they both lied, and they both died. They lied and they died because they didn't fear God. And listen at the result when God healed those people. Acts chapter 5 verse 11. And great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard of these things. Yes, the church of God was strengthened through this. And they came to realize the God, and the God who takes His glory seriously. And the God who can deal with sin swiftly. But not only the church, everyone there. It doesn't mean everyone got saved. It might have been just seeing the God of glory and realizing and trembling a little bit and then forgetting. It doesn't mean saving necessarily, but they did tremble and they did realize who He is. James chapter 3 verse 1, speaking about teachers. And it says, not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for ye know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. The word fear is once again not used, but greater, stricter judgment is used. The concept is, because God is a God who judges, a God who punishes, and a God who withholds rewards, do not teach. Don't take the teaching at flippantly. Take it seriously. Sorry, that's mine. I apologize. Our church starts much later. Sorry, guys. That's my reminder. Get up from bed. Go to church. I apologize for that alarm going off. Right. Take the teaching act seriously. This is God's word. He spoke. And there's a judgment. A stricter judgment on those who teach God's word. So, once again, the fear of the Lord is not mentioned, but the concept is there. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 17, and if you call on Him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deed, conduct yourselves with fear throughout your time of exile. We see there in James chapter 3, in Hebrews chapter 4 verse 1, 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 17, we also see it's not an Old Testament concept only, it's a New Testament concept as well in these verses that we've just read. Conduct yourselves with fear. If you want to serve God, conduct yourself with fear. You have to fear. It starts with fearing Yahweh. If you don't, you're not serving Him. Like I said, this type of fear leads to carefulness. And I'm a school teacher. That's my occupation at the moment. And I've seen this so many times. You can't just tell a child, do something. Yes, many times that child does something out of loyalty because they respect you, because they honor you. But there's an act of discipline that's needed as well. Parents know that just as well. The child so desperately wants to please daddy or mommy. But sometimes, the other aspect of discipline, the scary nature, needs to be there as well to enforce obedience. So both aspects are necessary. We have to stand in awe of God. That's the fear of the Lord. We have to stand in awe of God, and that leads to loyalty. You also have to realize He is a dangerous God if you mess with Him. If you do not keep His commandments, and if you are not careful, God is swift to punish sin. And that leads to carefulness. And so, what we see here is both aspects of the fear of the Lord should instill obedience. Both these aspects of fearing the Lord leads to obedience. And if it doesn't lead to obedience, some part of the fear of the Lord is missing. There's a hole in your understanding. You maybe think you're fearing the Lord because you're trembling, but you're not obeying Him, so there's actually some part missing. The fear of the Lord should always lead to obedience. Let me show you a few verses. We all know Noah in the Bible. God told Noah, Noah built the ark, and he built the ark. He obeyed God. And Hebrews chapter 11 verse 7, he giving a commentary on that, says, by faith Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. So, he feared God. He said, God, I respect you. I trust that what you're saying is going to happen. I take your warning seriously. And then he started building. For years and years, he and his family built the ark. And how did God reward him? We said in the beginning, there are many rewards for fearing the Lord. It prolongs life. In that case, exactly what happened. God prolonged his life. God saved him from the big flood, he and his family. Abraham. When God told Abraham, Abraham, go and sacrifice your son Isaac. Did Abraham obey? Yes, he did. Why? Because he feared the Lord. Genesis chapter 22, verse 12. The angel of the Lord said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And how did God reward him? Well, his son didn't die, and God blessed him and gave him many blessings, and he is the father of a multitude. The midwives in Exodus chapter 1 verse 17, when Pharaoh said, midwives, when a baby boy is born of the Hebrews, just when he's born, just quickly kill him. And the midwives disobeyed Pharaoh. So they didn't fear Pharaoh, they feared Yahweh, they feared the true God. God rewarded them with families. Exodus chapter 1 verse 17, but the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but let the male children live. Then God rewarded them with offspring. God gave them families later in the chapter. So, the fear of the Lord always, always should lead to obedience. And the flip side of the coin, hatred of sin, hatred of evil. Proverbs chapter 8 verse 13 says, the fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Psalm 34 verses 11 to 14. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? So he brings in the rewards first, and then he explains now what it means to fear the Lord, for you to get these rewards of the fear of the Lord. He says, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The fear of the Lord always leads to obedience. Philippians chapter 2 verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Fear and trembling should encourage us to work out our salvation, to grow in our holiness, to demonstrate the saving work of God. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 5 gives us a little illustration to help us understand the fear of the Lord. It says, bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ. So that's a good illustration there. As a slave should obey his master, having loyalty towards him, realizing the punishment if he does not obey, so we should obey Christ with fear and trembling. So that's, I found that to be a helpful illustration. So, the fear of the Lord is a high view of God that leads to obedience. It's my loyalty that's driven by God's worthiness. It's God's worthiness that leads to my willingness, right? And it's realizing it's dangerous to disobey. Both aspects. God's worthiness and supremacy leads to loyalty and allegiance. God's dangerous swiftness to deal with sin leads to carefulness. So, I'm going to ask you now, do you fear the Lord? Do you have a high view of Him? Is He in your mind glorious beyond all glory? Beyond all earthly treasures? Beyond anything that you can imagine? Is He more worthy, more supreme than America? Maybe some of you in your minds think America is this big country, and if they just send missiles to South Africa is gone. So maybe in your mind America is the biggest thing. Or Google, or Apple, or in your mind it's like there's nothing bigger than Google. Maybe. Or the president, or something like that. Is He in your mind most glorious and most dangerous? should he be disobeyed? In your mind, in your thinking. Because that will influence the way that you live, the way that you will obey. And just on the other aspect, the way Proverbs is written, the fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. The fear of the Lord is obedience. That aspect of the fear of the Lord also helps, because you can start on the one aspect of your spiritual life and you can say, I'm struggling with this sin. Maybe it's a sin of lying to your spouse, or becoming angry at your children, or laziness. One aspect of your spiritual battle, and you can pull it back to the fear of the Lord, and you can trace it back to God and say, God, who are you? You are the God who created the world in 6 days and the seventh day rested it. I can learn from that in diligence. So you can trace that your sin, your aspect, your spiritual battle back to the character of God. Or you can start from God. And you can say, God, you are glorious. You are a God of truth. You spoke and everything came into being. You spoke scripture. Your words are silver, refined 7 times. Therefore, I need to emulate your character if I want to be godly. And I want to speak the truth. So you can start at any aspect, anyone. You can start at your sin struggle and trace it back to God. Or you can just start with God, trace it back to Scripture. Both aspects are fine. Now, I'm going to conclude by giving you 4 steps of growing in the fear of the Lord. I asked you, do you fear the Lord? And I'm sure some of you said, yes. Some of you said, no. Some of you said, yes, but I want to grow in my fear of the Lord. I want to fear the Lord more. And if that's you, then great. Because I've got 4 steps from Scripture. And it's a topical, so it's all over the Scriptures. First one. The first step of growing in your fear of the Lord is this. Expose yourself to the glory of God. Expose yourself to the glory of God. Study Scripture. His special revelation. Look at the nature. His general revelation. Look at it and let it make you stand in awe. Next time that you see a little leaf and all the detail on that leaf and the sun shining in its strength and casting a little shadow on the ground, just say, wow, God, you're amazing. And let that help you to realize the glory of God. And next time when you read a verse about God in Scripture, how He maybe forgave a sinner's sin, or how He swiftly dealt with someone's pride, or how He planned to make all things new one day, or how He sent His beloved Son to die on the cross. Next time when you read something, let that cause you to stand in awe of God. So, every character in Scripture that was exposed to the glory of God stood in awe of Him. John, the Revelator, okay? When he got the revelation of God and of Christ, the glorified Christ, stood in awe of Him. He fell like a dead dog at His feet. Peter, when he saw Jesus, and Jesus did a miracle before him, and he was exposed to the glory of God there, said, who am I? And he just bowed before Him and said, my Lord, my God. He realized who he was. So, expose yourself to the glory of God. You've got Scripture. You've got God's revelation. Look at that and let that cause you to fear. That's our second step. So expose yourself to the glory of God. Step 2, believe and tremble. Believe what you've heard about God. Believe what you've read. Believe what you've seen in creation and tremble. The Pharisees saw Christ's miracles, but their hearts were hard. Pharaoh saw the 10 plagues, but his heart remained hard. Rahab heard of Yahweh. And she heard of the stories where the ark was taken through the Jordan River and how the Jordan River stopped and the Israelites could pass through on dry land. She got saved. She believed. She trembled. She actually got saved right there. And that led her to do step 3. That's obey. Obey God and hate evil. The fear of the Lord, once believed, once you've been exposed to it, once you've believed it and you're trembling before it, should lead to your obedience and your hatred of evil. Noah, Abraham, the midwives, Rahab, they Because they feared God, they obeyed God. And finally, the last step is, if you have been living a life of not fearing the Lord, or you have been fearing the Lord, but you're slacking, you're not exposing yourself to the Scriptures, you're not letting that cause you to tremble before the Lord, you're not allowing it to instill obedience in your heart, if that's not you, or if you've been neglecting lately, then find forgiveness at the cross. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7 says, in Him, Christ, Jesus, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace. 1 John 1 verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you have been neglecting the fear of the Lord, if He is not glorious in your thinking anymore, if you have stopped reading His Word, and you do not believe and tremble anymore, if you do not obey and you see you're slacking off, you're not careful like you should be, then I want to encourage you to go and find forgiveness at the cross. That's why Jesus died. For you, the sinner. And for me, the sinner. You can find forgiveness. And He can restore you back to a place of fearing Him. But it starts with forgiveness. And once He's forgiven, start there. Fear God because of His great forgiveness. Let's pray. Lord, please teach us to fear You. There are great benefits. You've structured your world in such an amazing way. And You yourself are personally involved in rewarding those who fear You. In giving them a longer life, in giving them riches and honor, giving them favor, even with their enemies. But it has to start with the fear of You. Teach us to, in your thinking, to see You as worthy, and to then cause willingness in our hearts. To see You as holy, to cause holiness in us. May we expose ourselves to Your glory. May we believe it and tremble. May it cause us to obey. And when we have sinned, may we find forgiveness in Your gracious work in sending Your Son to die. In Christ's name, amen.